Our next thing on the agenda is the communique. Presentation of the communique and then an affirmation by the community. So, Michael and Leo, you guys are all set, right?
Okay, so I alluded to yesterday in my opening comments. So for people who are new to the entire Ontology Summit and Ontology Summit Symposium process, as Peter actually mentioned yesterday in his retirement remarks, right from the very first Ontology Summit, there has been a tradition of creating a document that is the synthesis and reflects all of the different viewpoints from the Ontology Summit. And you know, although the first summit was a nice two-pager that was crafted almost that day, and where it's evolved now into a four-month process where there is more than so much input and so much material that gets produced, it has become a lot more challenging. For people who remember the earlier days of the communique, it was, I guess, analogous to the Constitution Conference, where we did live wordsmithing for a document, and it was excruciatingly painful, almost killed the summits, I think. So over time, we evolved the process, and so to have more kind of more synthesis in the communique and more kind of advanced presentation of the material, and so that then at the actual symposium, we kind of endorse it and kind of everyone gives the affirmation of the content of the communique. So, and in previous years, there's also been, you know, kind of different there. There's usually the lead editors who are kind of are tasked with actually writing the communique, and in you know, different years, there I can see different editors around, former editors around the table. Different styles were adopted. Leo and I adopted more of a style of actually being the editors, that we see the communique as being a community document, that everybody who participated in the summit has contributed to the material of the communique. And so we, Leo and I, took our roles as being editors to take all of this material and try to forge it into something that was coherent. And so we tried to come up with a storyline of what we thought this summit was all about, but then took our lead from all of the different track champions. And so yesterday we heard from all of the different tracks, particularly tracks A, B, C, and D, which are kind of the content tracks. They were the ones that hosted all the different presentations. They were the ones that facilitated all of the different online discussions. And, we saw in yesterday's presentations the sheer variety and volume of all the knowledge that they produced. I guess not too much velocity. There's all the 4 months not too bad for velocity. And so everyone has kind of seen the communique evolving over the past few weeks. And to some extent, my opening remarks yesterday captured some of the big picture things that we saw coming out of the communique. that for the three focus areas, that I mentioned yesterday, how are ontologies actually being used? How does this differ from existing applications? So what are some of the novel challenges? I talked yesterday about the idea of, we're building bridges, between the different communities. And I think maybe another perspective, say maybe more of a egocentric perspective, egocentric is a community, not just me, that if we're working in the field of applied ontology, whatever definition we give to that kind of field, one of the things that I was always concerned with this summit was what are our blind spots? Right, that we are working on researching various techniques, building maybe various ontologies, but we're all kind of approaching it from our backgrounds, from our areas of expertise. We identify what we're interested in working on, and we go and tackle that. But there, you know, there's always going to be blind spots that are there, that because we're working on these ontologies, we're going to be missing certain things. And so I saw this year's summit as being a great opportunity to look at what the people who are working on the semantic web and big data, what do they perceive as being some of these fundamental challenges related to ontologies, and then recognizing those and using them as these ideas as challenges to us as an applied ontology community. And so that's kind of where these focus areas arose from. So one was, you know, like really, what are the ontologies that are being used and which ones are not being used? Are we creating content that no one cares about? And if so, what is the content as an applied ontology community that we really do need to be providing? So that was the focus area number one. Focus area number two was saying, okay, well, if we are providing this content, why isn't anybody using it? Why aren't people sharing the ontologies more? Why aren't people reusing ontologies more? And that's what I saw the great presentation yesterday from Track A, really, really attacking that issue of reuse. And so that was a second fundamental theme. And then the third one was, okay, well, if we have we've identified what the content that we're supposed to be providing, we are kind of addressing the fundamental challenges of reuse. What are the other bottlenecks that are there? And if we look at maybe some of the cultural issues as affecting issues number one and two, cultural in the sense of where, you know, what are the ontologies you're building as a community and how are we facilitating reuse? Are the other challenges more on the tool side? And so then what are the tools, the software tools and software environments and other kinds of techniques that can identify what these bottlenecks are and help alleviate these bottlenecks? So these, you know, again, Leo and I were kind of brainstorming, coming up, and out of all the material that was being produced throughout the summit over the past 4 months, these were some of the three key themes that we saw kind of arising out of that. And so really those the three major sections of the communique are each drilling down into each of these kinds of themes. And, you know, the tracks arise, you know, the tracks were identified in early December, like from the early days of this year's summit. But the tracks are kind of the venues for discussing these ideas. And so these are the three ideas. They don't kind of correspond one-to-one with these tracks, but you know, again, every track in some way contributed to each of these questions. So the first main kind of section here is, again, using ontologies with big data and the semantic web. And so the two kind of key ideas here are, you know, one is, you know, again, how are ontologies being used, but also how could they be used? And this is kind of speaking again to this idea of potential blind spots within the applied ontology community. So, you know, looking at semantic web and big data as new eyes on how ontologies can be used, as opposed to maybe sticking to what we know has been working, right? The cliche of, you know, looking for your lost keys under the streetlight instead of maybe where you actually lost them down the back alley. And let's see. So we're in the document, the communique, we were kind of focusing again both on the way things work, but also perhaps on you know, the way things aren't working so well. And Christoph Lange yesterday in his presentation of Track B was kind of recognizing one of the key challenges in a lot of semantic web, big data, linked open data sorts of applications, right, is the role that the ontology is playing and the match up between what, you know, the cliche often is the heavyweight ontologies versus the lightweight ontologies. And really the lesson here being, you know, kind of coming out of last year's, I guess, summit in a way, the ontology lifecycle, is really looking at what are your requirements, right? What are the requirements for a particular application? And looking at, you know, what's the right ontology you need to meet those requirements? And so that was kind of another fundamental theme here. And so out of this arose, you know, discussions about the expressiveness of the underlying ontology languages that are being used, the expressiveness of those ontologies themselves, and in particular the idea of really providing multiple I don't want to say versions of ontologies, but multiple kind of encodings of ontologies in different ontology languages so that they can then be used in the most effective way. So there was some discussion that, you know, maybe one of the barriers to ontology adoption is that it's maybe in the wrong sort of representation language that's not the best used by a particular application, not amenable to the right kinds of techniques. And so there's a lot of discussion here about the role of expressiveness and the interaction between the expressiveness of the underlying requirements and the expressiveness of that ontology. And the potential idea that maybe building these kind of more lightweight and ontologies and vocabularies, you know, maybe requires some new techniques potentially because of the role that they're playing in the in their applications. And Christoph mentioned this other too. This if you look at web services, the way the trajectory of web services, that there was a lot of effort culminating in 2005, I guess, with the adoption of AOLS and W3C. The project, the Semantic Web Services Framework, which were really pushing towards heavyweight ontologies. And I guess cynically, you could say that was really pushed by people in AI who were looking for new applications of planning. But you know, since then, there's maybe been a kind of a revisiting of, well, what are the really underlying requirements here, and looking at some more lightweight sort of approaches. The other issue that popped up in regards to how ontologies are being used and which ontologies are being used is, of course, the issue of scalability. And this still remains, you know, kind of a fundamental challenge. One of the things we also have within the communique, at the end of every section, we have a set of either questions or challenges or other sorts of ideas that kind of came up. And we'll kind of, I'll mention that kind of at the end. I'll come back to these questions at the end. The second main focus area, again, of the summit and of the communique is focusing in on the study of the shareable, reusable semantic content. And primarily the issue of, you know, what limits ontology reuse. And so within this section of the communique, what we did was to try to say, well, okay, well, you know, here's this question, what limits ontology reuse? And then saying, well, maybe it's, you know, there are mismatches and understandings. And saying, okay, well, that's one possible problem. Say, well, you know, what is this problem of kind of mismatching? So maybe one reason is for little reuse is that, well, maybe the ontologies don't even exist. Or if they do, they haven't been designed with the right kinds of requirements. And so we have a little bit of discussion there, kind of, again, coming out of all the online discussions of saying, well, you know, there are certain aspects of that, you know, definitely are true.
I just, previously you had the idea of expressivity needed. I think that's one of the mismatches, not using the appropriate level of expressivity there, too.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's mentioned there or referenced back, but it could be.
It could be, yeah. Right, yeah, so we kind of just go over, you know, some various possible reasons why there are mismatches and also often too maybe some, you know, misunderstandings that the ontologies maybe do exist, but they're not really designed for reuse and they maybe are implemented in ways that make reuse difficult. And that's, I kind of alluded to that, like, you know, said that there was this feeling that the ontologies might be there, but because they're actually written in the wrong language for a particular application, they're never kind of seen.
Or are not easy to find or well documented.
That's coming later, yeah. So, yeah, not easy to find. So there's finding Mr. Right ontology. We tried getting a little more whimsical in this section. The other sections, there's a hard time being whimsical in the other sections, but we waxed poetic in this section. So as Gary is saying, you know, that maybe these ontologies are there, but they're just so hard to find that maybe if you're optimistic, there's a lot of ontologies, there's so many, it's hard to find. Maybe they're just, again, not really being made publicly available to a lot of extent. Again, even here at the last little paragraph here, that even when you have found it, maybe it's not really, after going out on a date, it's not really Mr. Right, that, you know, maybe there are some other issues there, quality, trust, et cetera. A third issue was this idea of, you know, well, okay, the ontology is there, but it isn't quite fit. It's not right there, you know, not the right style, not the right size. And so, yeah, the ontology is there, but I can't use it as it is. I have to do something to it. I have to somehow modify it. And there could be many different reasons why. I think this one of the really fruitful threads out of the summit discussions was looking at, like, well, what are some of these challenges here that things don't actually fit? Sometimes an ontology is incomplete in the sense of, oh, it doesn't quite capture all my requirements. So I had a set of requirements that I wanted, and I found this ontology that satisfies 3 out of 4. This one satisfies that fourth one that I was missing over here, but it misses the other 3, you know. And so how do you deal with these ontologies that aren't quite this right fit with our requirements? Well, here's the ontology might not be in the right representation language that a user needs, and so you have the issue of expressiveness. Okay, yep, it is right there. Perhaps the ontology actually is too big, right? That modularity is a key challenge here. That, oh, I found this really cool ontology, but it's so huge, and it's about biology. But, oh, inside that ontology, I found something really neat about connectivity, you know, because it was dealing with some kind of model of anatomy. So how can I take just that out of that stuff that I want out of this big ontology, and how can I extract it in a way that then I can reuse it, but also which, you know, it extracts it easily. On the flip side, sometimes what happens is reuse often requires integration of multiple ontologies. So, yeah, I can reuse this ontology, but does it play well with others? Can I reuse that ontology and then combine it with reusing that ontology? And so integration arose as a fundamental challenge. And along with integration, all these other ideas like ontology mappings, et cetera. And then finally, there's the thing, well, you know, maybe people don't reuse ontologies because it's just easier to do it yourself. You know, rather than go through all the pain of modularizing, of integrating, of adapting, extending, et cetera, just do it yourself. It'll, you know, okay, you know, it might take a little bit longer, but you'll have more faith in it. So, you know, what are these? This really came out of the track C discussions where they were looking at, and Matthew West presented some of these ideas yesterday, you know, that there are maybe these barriers that make it easier to try to do it yourself, but then you're not really doing reuse. And so, you know, there's barriers of the cost and development, deployment of ontologies, inadequate understanding of uses of ontologies. This is something Mike Kushel was talking about yesterday in some discussions, right? People don't usually understand what ontology is about, and so they say, this isn't what I really want. And then finally, there were social factors. This came out of track C, so ontologies being designed strictly in one language and then not being accessible to the rest of the world. So people felt this section was a bit of a downer, all these barriers. I find them challenges. I find challenges optimistic things, but people felt it was a kind of a downer. So we also had a section where, well, actually, ontology reuse does happen. And so we were talking here about ontology patterns, yeah, despite the dour nature of the previous section. I guess it's this long winter. It's very gray. But then, and even better, so the news just kept getting better in section 3 here. We started identifying best practices. And so, again, track 8 is an excellent session, and every other track sort of jumped onto the bandwagon here. So some of the best practices that, you know, we can identify. And so this is kind of learning from both our successes and failures. And so this was a series of best practices that if we as a community adopt, there's the hope and the potential for really encouraging reuse. So in section 4 was addressing that third fundamental insight out of the summit, which was the role that automation and tools can play and the great opportunities that they can support. So aspects here, automated ontology acquisition, you know, how can we best extract ontologies from the data that's out there, So particularly a lot of linked open data and big data problems, you know, the idea is the semantics is out there, but it's just we have to try to make that more explicit. And we also, in the first section, we mentioned the idea of scalability, right? So then, well, scalability is a challenge. What are the tools that can help us with the scalability problem? So, and also in the early section, we mentioned modularity. So there's a nice kind of tie-in between some of the challenges that were recognized in the earlier sections, the earlier problems, and then how automation and tools can help support working on those. So looking at tools for modular ontology architectures, tools for actually doing reasoning. This is something that came up in a lot of discussions yesterday, for example. Tools for doing the mapping and alignment, right? So this was, you know, the challenge of integration and modification. Doing ontology tools that support both ontology analysis techniques, but also the idea of hybrid tools, the ability to not just do reasoning with an ontology, but looking at these kind of novel applications of ontologies, like as we're seeing within projects like Watson. Right, and then we have a couple of questions there. But one of the things, so another kind of traditional aspect of the communique is a set of recommendations at the end. So this symposium is the culmination of the past 4 months of the summit, but to a great extent we view this symposium as just being the preliminary step on what is something that's hopefully a longer-term vision. And we've seen this in earlier summits. Peter was mentioning this yesterday as well. The summit on ontology repositories evolved into the Open Ontology Repository Initiative. Ontology-based standards evolved into a special interest group within the International Association of Ontology and its Applications. A lot of these things have evolved on. And so we kind of see some of these recommendations as something that we as a field then can take and hopefully move forward with these. And Leo's mentioned this semantic web applied ontology SIG that hopefully can carry on some of these recommendations. And then what I kind of like at the end here is one of the things I kind of like to do is kind of an issue with some of these challenge problems. So really to kind of, we just, in a way within this summit, we just pose these questions. And I see a lot of the future work that we can be carrying on here as trying to address some of these fundamental questions. Some of them were the ones we asked at the very top, right? So what really are the ontologies that are required for some of these applications? Scalability. You know, are the design application of ontologies on the web fundamentally different from existing techniques? But there were some other ones that we kind of looked at, you know, like the role of crowdsourcing in ontology design, and particularly what benchmark data sets. So this is something also that I think Ken Bukowski sort of led with in Track D, was trying to identify use cases and trying to get these benchmark data sets that can help guide the future work with interdisciplinary ontologies.
Mike, you had questions at the end of some sections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I saw anything at the end of section three.
So section three, instead of questions, we had the best practices.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we had, you know, again, we had, you know, been posing all these challenges in the earlier sections. So we wanted to end section three on a more upbeat note.
Yesterday we talked about meta-ontology, and I think that what we need is having a way to describe the context of application of micro-theories. And I think that will be one of the topic for future research. I don't see that mentioned in the communique. I mean, maybe you can add that on the as a topic of future research.
Mm. Yeah, so... Peter's mentioned that on the symposium page or on the communique?
On the communique page. For those people who have not been following the last 4 months' work, essentially the communique was input to the communique was closed about like a week ago. So
okay.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, Todd would probably tell us more. But I mean, every year when the communique is presented, there are newer ideas. So started like 3 years ago, we have created another page for people to provide input after communique has been published.
Yeah, I was not familiar with the process. So yeah. Sorry about it.
But definitely, but like Peter's saying, there's the opportunity and there is a venue for providing comments, additional comments, and so we want to capture those. So please add the comments.
Yeah, if you go to the communique page on the wiki at the very bottom after the endorsement, there's a link to further input into the communique, and also there's a further input to the summit, like suggesting ideas for next year's
policy. So is it at the bottom? Where is it here?
The links are there.
Click on the communique.
Oh, like on the communique draft or the communique page?
Yeah, communique. Yeah. For the 6Ts, go all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, so this is the wiki version of the communique. And, go down here. Yeah, but here, like, this is the place to add. So, and this will definitely be the place to have that.
Yeah, Pat, what you should do if you see a typo or something is send it to us. Yeah, no substantive. No substantive changes. I think we adopted the Fabian rule, right, a number of years ago. So.
But Michael, mm-hmm. Quick question. Can you put the summary on the top?
Yeah.
Just the summary.
Mm-hmm.
No, the end part of it. No, the last section that you showed.
Oh.
The closures, whatever. Conclusions and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going down. Now, challenge problems, okay. Now, if you look at the challenge problems, I know you can't make any changes, but they're just... If you look very carefully in some of the statements that you made there, are these specific to big data applications or some of those things which we discussed over the years? You know, many of them, like, for example, crowdsourcing and ontology design and those kinds of things are generic stuff anyway for ontology. There are two things here. One is for ontologies in general and for big data and semantic web in particular, because the theme of the summit is that. So I'm just wondering whether...
Well, I would actually say the only one that doesn't explicitly address how ontologies are being, your challenges for ontologies in the context of semantic and web and big data, the only one that doesn't explicitly say that is the crowdsourcing one. I don't know, people felt that was kind of coming out of some discussions, so people felt that was something that was, maybe something that was kind of arising more in web contexts, the idea of the crowdsourcing of ontology design. But all the other ones seem to, I think, are addressing at least the potentially distinctive nature of the application of that or that challenge problem in the context of the semantic web and big data or linked open data.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
I mean, just syntactically, every other sentence has the word semantic web and or big data in it. So.
The last one is also benchmark data sets.
Okay, we could put in big data sets.
I just want to say, I think that given the structure of this section, the first sentence before you've got sort of the bullets, I think is, unless one of the bullet points was hard to imagine as applicable, I think the implicit scoping is there.
Mm.
So even for the two points that don't say it explicitly,
yeah.
I think it's fairly clear.
Any other comments? No, the other thing to recognize as well, and we, again, maybe mentioned this yesterday in some of the opening remarks, is the communique is one of the outcomes, the concrete outcomes and deliverables of the summit. The other is all the different synthesis pages that came out of all the tracks. The other aspects are the collection of use cases that we wanted to gather that again, Ken Bukowski initiated. So, and also, again, all the other comments that people have on the communique. So this really is, kind of a living document to some extent that it kind of serves as a way of, capturing what happened as of 2 weeks ago, but also you know, can serve as a future starting point for other other kinds of efforts. And I say, in particular, there's the Semantic Web Applied Ontology SIG, a special interest group that Leo and Mike Bennett are leading among with others, that that hopefully will be the kind of the entity that can help facilitate and nurture a lot of these ideas that we talked about, not only in the communique itself, but also in all these other discussions from the summit. So we're really looking forward to all the exciting things that that special interest group is have planned over the coming years. So, Todd, did you want to say anything about the endorsement procedure?
Nope.
Okay. So, so the other aspect of the summit symposium and the communique is all the participants of the symposium and formally endorse the communique. We have a sign-up sheet that Todd is distributing. And so this, you know, just kind of as kind of a participant of the summit. And like I said, all the material that was here really came from everyone around the table and everyone in the chat and everyone that couldn't actually be here today. All of that input, all these, all this text came from you. So you wrote it. Leo and I just try to make it pretty. So please you know, sign the endorsement form, the endorsement list, to formally affirm the communique.
You're invited.
Invited to. No, you don't have to.
Sorry, a couple points.
In endorsing the communique, you are endorsing the communique and not the organization
right.
that you may represent. So you have to be clear about that in case you get into trouble with your organization. And there's also a closing time for the to put your endorsement on the communique. And Peter, was it a month from now?
we will also Michael, or you will make a post to the list as
okay.
well. And Michael
but,
I guess the your team, will make a post to the ontology summit list to solicit the rest of the community
yeah.
to endorse, and then you will put up the date.
Yeah, we usually close it out after about 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
It's, there's
yeah,
enough time to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a postmortem session
yeah.
scheduled, I think, middle of May. So maybe 15. Closing a day. A couple of days
near
before
there.
Postmortem
yeah.
would probably get us the number, or if you want more dates, you can do that.
Now, a couple more comments about the communique. I want to thank Leo and Michael for doing a very nice job. They had a really wide range of material to try to incorporate. And if you actually create a table of contents from the communique, you'll see that it lays out very nicely in its logical association and flow. But also I want to thank Leo and Michael because I sent them a boatload of comments, suggestions, and other things that they certain people were complaining about because they were so dense. But they were very nice in accepting them and at least agreeing with most of my suggestions. So thank you. And we missed, though, the last-minute drama of doing live changes. this year, the creation of the communique was the most open that we've had ever, I think. Everyone had sufficient time to provide their views, their comments, their reasoning for changing things. So it was very nice and a lot easier to do. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. So I assume we have formally adopted the communique by the participants here. So I made a post and marked the time on the chat.
Oops.
I just want to say on behalf of all those who have survived the past communique efforts and with great awareness of how difficult it is to focus in and get a coherent communique on the points of consensus that emerge out of a wide-ranging
mm-hmm.
and sometimes flailing live dialogue. Fantastic job, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, right. So the other thing that again, has traditionally happened with the communique is that, actually this year I think the form is pretty well in the right kind of format, that it is submitted for publication in the Journal Applied Ontology. So as a nice publication there that serves as kind of the archival form of that. So that's one aspect. And I think the other thing, too, is that it really I think that would be the main publication thing. I mean, there might be some other opportunities to use this as a document with which we can approach different venues and conferences within the big data semantic web sphere and kind of use this as a kind of a position statement in a way from the applied ontology community. So that would be another way that it's used. And also I think it serves as, again, valuable material for the semantic web applied ontology sake. But, yeah, primarily the other thing will be this will be published in the Journal Applied Ontology.